Welcome everyone to audio number 5. Do you have zits, cysts, and hairs in places you'd rather not have them? You know, a lot of people get confused about androgens. Androgens are actually this family of sex hormones that a lot of people think of as being the male hormone. But it turns out that the androgens, especially testosterone, is very important for women as well. We don't have as much as men do. We have like 10 times less. But in the female body, we're really sensitive to it. In fact, we have 10 times more androgens, testosterone in particular, than we do estrogens. So this is one of those hormones that you really want to understand. And you also want it, as with all hormones, in the Goldilocks position. Not too high, not too low. Now, in my book, The Hormone Cure, I actually don't talk much about low testosterone. In fact, I hardly talk about it at all. So you're going to get that special content today, along with a conversation about high testosterone.
What does testosterone do?
Yes, the jobs of testosterone. Let's start to list those. Well, number one, I mean, it's most known for what it does to your sex drive. It is one of the components of your sex drive, and that's true for a few of the androgens. You know, there's this whole family of testosterone and DHEA. The other part that it's involved in, and people don't know about this as much, so listen up to this part, it's involved in mood, especially in women once they hit 40, 45, 50. It's a really important aspect of your liveliness, your vitality. It's also involved in self-confidence and how much risk you're willing to take. There's this interesting study done at a business school in Chicago where they found that women who have higher testosterone levels are definitely more likely to go into risk-taking jobs like investment banking, things like that. We also know that testosterone is involved in making you either male or female. It's almost like flipping the switch when you're a fetus developing in your mother's uterus.
What happens if I have too much testosterone?
Yeah, so you want to be in that sweet spot where you don't have too much, don't have too little. Here's what happens if you have too much. We know that about one-third of women who are in their reproductive years, so we're talking about ages 13 until 45, 50, we know that the number one hormone problem is too much testosterone. It's also known as polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, that term is not synonymous. There's some ways to distinguish between the two, but basically, if you have too much testosterone, too many androgens, that's one of the signs of polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's also something that you can see in women after menopause. In fact, we used to just think about polycystic ovarian syndrome as being a problem in your reproductive years, but it turns out you can diagnose it really early on, like before puberty. You can diagnose it in utero. You can even diagnose it in menopause. And women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome have more problems in menopause with a few things: heart disease, stroke, mood problems, and cancer. So when your androgens are high, it can really cause problems hormonally from being an embryo all the way until you're an octogenarian. What's the deal here? Well, when it comes to having too much testosterone, one of the problems is that you have more hair. You get hairy. It's something called hirsutism. And the idea here is that you're growing hair where you don't want it. We're not talking about rocking your locks and thickening the hair on your head. No, we're talking about the rogue hairs in your chin, your neck, around your breasts, maybe on your arms. More hair than you want. Now, some people just have a family tendency to grow more hair, and I'm not talking about that situation. I'm talking about more hair as a result of your testosterone being excessively high. When it's severe, when testosterone is really high, it can cause more extreme symptoms. It can make you lose hair on your head. It can also make you grow a full beard. And this is actually the story behind some of those circus characters, you know, women who have a full beard. It also can make your clitoris grow. And this is not necessarily a good thing. So if any of those things are going on, you want to actually get medical attention. Very important not to dismiss that. We also know that it can make you have a deeper voice as a woman, and it can actually cause violence. We know that for women, aggressive dominance and criminal violence is linked to higher testosterone levels. Now, as if that weren't enough, we know that women who are going through menopause who have higher testosterone levels tend to have more mood problems, more depression. So if you think you might be at risk for having a higher level of testosterone, I want you to get this checked out. Now, let me tell you about a woman that I saw. This is a 34-year-old woman who was having trouble getting pregnant, who was having a period that was irregular. It would come maybe every 2 months, definitely more. She wouldn't get it every single month. She also had some increased hair growth on her chin, and she had a problem with her weight. So no matter what she tried to do, she just really struggled with her weight. She was about 10, 20 pounds overweight. What we did was we ran a panel of tests because I had a hunch that she had a problem with her testosterone levels, maybe insulin. And in fact, she did. She had what's called insulin resistance, meaning that her cells were numb to insulin. And insulin's a fat storage hormone, so that was making her store fat. She also had a high testosterone level, not high enough that we were worried about a tumor, not high enough where she had a beard or anything like that, but high enough that it was keeping her from getting pregnant, and she wanted to get pregnant. So it turns out in her case, the insulin was actually having a direct toxic effect on her ovary, and it was making it harder for her to ovulate every month. And that was driving her testosterone high. That was the root cause of why her testosterone was high. So what we did was we got that insulin under control. And the cool part here is that you can do it in 48 hours. You can actually follow the Zone diet. You can do one of these lower carb programs where you're eating whole foods, you're eating more protein, you're lowering something called your glycemic index, where you're not eating those sugary foods. You're eating protein and vegetables primarily. Occasionally you'll have some slow carbohydrates. We know that when you do that, within 7 days, you can actually adjust your testosterone levels, and within 48 hours, you can adjust your insulin levels. So we did that, and in fact, within 7 days, she dropped her testosterone levels by 25%. She dropped her insulin from a high level of about 12 down to 6, which is right in that sweet spot. We want insulin to be not too high, not too low. People sometimes ask me, okay, that's fine, Dr. Sarah, this whole insulin thing, not sure I get it, but just tell me how to test for it. So let me explain how you can do that. With women who are trying to get pregnant, one of the things we sometimes do is a fasting glucose and a fasting insulin measurement. So that would be one option. Another option, which is what doctors recommend a little more strongly and there's more agreement about, is to do something called a 2-hour glucose test. And that's where you drink a sugary drink that I would never otherwise want you to drink. And then you measure your blood glucose at a couple of times. So that's something you can ask your local clinician to do for you. When you're calculating your glucose to insulin ratio, what you want is a level above 4.5. So if you have a glucose to insulin ratio of less than 4.5, that's abnormal.
So what are the causes of high androgens?
Yeah, great question. Okay, so here's the deal. We know that genetics plays a really important role. And this brings to mind one of the shows that I actually like. Okay, here's a little slice of Dr. Sarah. I like the show Weeds. And there was a girl in Weeds named Isabel who's a little round. And I think she's actually super cute and smart. I loved her as a character. And her father was a little round too. And this sort of shows you some of the genetics that you can get into, where you might inherit a predisposition to make more testosterone as a woman, and it may cause some symptoms for you, like being a little more round or pudgy. Another reason for polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I don't think that this is the only reason, we're talking about some of the things that kind of travel together. A second reason is chronic stress, when you don't have that lovely hormone cortisol working on your team. A third reason for high testosterone is excess body fat. We know that when you have more body fat than is healthy or normal for you, and for women, that's basically somewhere above 33-34%, that you are more likely to have the bad estrogens, especially estrone, and you're also more likely to have higher testosterone levels.
What is PCOS?
Yes, polycystic ovarian syndrome. This is a really common problem. You know, I find what we know is that most women who have high testosterone, high androgens, actually have polycystic ovarian syndrome. And what's a little bit confusing is that it's not 100%. So we know that somewhere around 70% of people with high androgens have polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it sounds scary, and it actually is. So I want you to pay attention to this. This, as I mentioned, is one of the most common hormone problems that women have. It can interfere with your ability to get pregnant. It can block your monthly ovulation. And we know that women with polycystic ovarian syndrome actually make these little cysts on their ovaries. Now, you don't have to have that. It's not one of the diagnoses that you need to have to make it clear that you have PCOS. But it's very common to have this. In fact, again, about 70% of women with polycystic ovarian syndrome have polycystic ovaries. What we know with these cysts is that the cysts themselves are not a problem. They're these little fluid-filled cysts. You can have anywhere from like 10 to 100 of them. And we believe that the cysts result from the disturbed hormones that you have, so that your eggs don't go through that normal process that they should be going through. And that leads to a couple of problems. It leads to what's called the pearl necklace sign, the pearl sign. And that means when you do an ultrasound, you can see what looks like a string of pearls on the ovaries. This is not a string of pearls that you want. So here's some of the symptoms that are associated with polycystic ovarian syndrome. Number one, trouble losing weight. Number two, inflammation. Number three, rogue hairs. Number four, high testosterone levels. And number five, you might have problems with ovulation. So if you think you might have polycystic ovarian syndrome, I recommend that you see your physician for hormone tests and a possible ultrasound.
What is the treatment for high androgens?
If your androgens are high, there's a few things you want to do. Starting with Gottfried protocol, step number one, losing weight is actually really effective. And I know that's obvious, but it turns out that just a loss of 5% of your body weight can completely change your hormone profile. So it's not like you have to go for the gigantic weight loss. Even a small amount can make a big difference. You heard me talk about going with a low glycemic index food plan. And we know that fiber is important. Zinc, also important. You want to avoid dairy. You want to eat more protein, omit sugar, take your omega-3s. We know that yoga, chromium, inositol, vitamin D, all are very effective. Step two, the botanical therapies include cinnamon, saw palmetto, especially if you have hair loss, and a Chinese supplement called Tian Gui. I don't even know how to say it. It's T-I-A-N-G-U-I. There aren't any bioidentical therapies that I know of that help you when your androgens are high. But on the other hand, if you're someone who's got low testosterone, low DHEA, it can be helpful for you to take a small amount of DHEA. This is the kind of thing I recommend you do with a clinician. But generally for women, if you stay around 2 to 5 milligrams a day, that's going to be helpful. The risk is that some women have a problem with hair loss, no matter what level of hormones that they take, especially the androgens. So you got to be careful about that.
What happens when my androgens are in balance?
Yes. So when you're in that Goldilocks position, here's what it looks like. You've got a good mood. It's optimal. You've got a normal amount of assertiveness. You feel confident. Your skin isn't excessively greasy or dry, but it's clear with minimal to no acne. We know that acne is a sign of excess testosterone, so you don't have that. You're neither pumped up like a bodybuilder nor flabby and undertoned, which is what can happen when your testosterone's low. But you have the right amount of bone density. You have the right amount of muscle size. When you exercise, you actually see a response. You also have a normal distribution of hair. The hair is where it should be. It's on your head, not on your chinny chin chin. And you also have a normal distribution of pubic hair. One of the things we see commonly is that if you've got excess testosterone, you can have a lot of pubic hair. And if you're low in testosterone, you may lose your pubic hair. Finally, you're able to get pregnant when you want to, if that's something that you're trying to do. You're able to have a regular menstrual cycle. So for those who are still having their periods, you're not held hostage by your ovaries that make too much testosterone and prevent ovulation. So that's what it looks like when these hormones are back in balance. And one last point I want to make about PCOS, about having a problem with excess androgens, is the role of endocrine disruptors. So you're going to hear me talk about this occasionally. The next audio is actually on the thyroid, and I'm going to talk about it there. You also know that when it comes to having excess estrogen, that you can have a problem with certain endocrine disruptors, including the 700 known chemicals that act like xenoestrogens. They activate the estrogen receptor. When it comes to people who have PCOS, women who struggle with polycystic ovarian syndrome, we know that bisphenol A is part of the problem. So women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome have higher levels of bisphenol A. And we know that bisphenol A actually disrupts the estrogen receptor and the thyroid receptor. Here's a quick little action item. Bisphenol A is in the lining of cans. It used to also be in baby products. Unfortunately, that's been banned in a lot of places. But if you eat canned foods, one of the things you can do to reduce your exposure to bisphenol A, especially if you have high androgens, is to take your probiotics. So probiotics help you reduce your absorption of this particular endocrine disruptor, bisphenol A. Okay, everybody, that's the end of our audio on testosterone. Next up is thyroid.